next parsha, Parsha's Emor, at the beginning of the parsha, Torah tells us the commandment for the Kehanim to follow the laws of Tumah and Tahara. It says in Rashi quotes of Gemara, Emor v'Amarta, why is the double lashon? It says Emor twice. So Rashi says, L'hazer g'dayim alaktanim, to warn the adults upon the children. If Moshe Feinstein has a beautiful pshat in his sefer that the Emor v'Amarta is when we're laying chinuch, you have to say two things. Emor, you got to tell what's right and what's wrong, what you can and can't do. But V'Amarta says, Rav Moshe, when you're giving over chinuch, you have to say it over in a way that shows that it means something to you. You love it. It's beloved to you. Just to tell kids, you can't do this, you can't do that, you know, what we call to the old literature style, that's usher and that's mutter, and take it and leave it. That's not going to work, said Rav Moshe. If you want to mechanech children in the proper way, to that they'll want to love mitzvahs and do mitzvahs, you have to express it in that way. So the first emor is tell the kids, listen, this is the halachas. You know, we can't do this. The amarta, but say it over with a deeper love for the mitzvahs. That it's not because Hashem hates us and Hashem wants to make our lives miserable, because He loves us, and that's why He made us different, and that's why we have restrictions. It's a very important lesson, because as we mentioned last week, though, many of the mikairis of chinuch come from last week's parasha of emavar amarta, lahazik deyim alaktanim. It's an important lesson. The chinuch says, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that when you're being mechanuch children, it's not sufficient that you tell them what's wrong and what's right. You have to do it in a loving way. We mentioned in the past that was the fundamental difference between Noach and Avram Avinu. Noach was not a very successful Makarif. Maybe that wasn't his agenda, but he wasn't very successful in Kiruv. Avram Avinu was a very successful Makarif. What was the difference? So Avram Avinu's attitude in Kiruv was much more of a loving, the beauty of Torah, the beauty of mitzvahs, was Avram Avinu's attitude. Yeah. Comes to learning, Gevaldik.
Starting on young.
Gevaldik, why not? Comes to learn, okay? Gevaldik. Gevaldik. Very good. So we mentioned that Avraham Avinu, let's give him a Marmukai Mishit. Avraham Avinu, maybe not a cup of coffee, but at least a Marmukai Mishit. Avraham Avinu, we mentioned that he used his attitude of kiruv with much more of a loving attitude. How beautiful Torah is, how beautiful mitzvahs are. It was much more loving. Noach was a little bit more hardcore. This is what it is. You don't like it, there's the door. So as we know, that attitude doesn't always work. The success rate is much lower with that attitude. And that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein is telling us. With the chinuch of our children, it has to be the two levels of, you have to know what's right and wrong, emor. But the amarta has to be said over in a very loving way. And Moshe Sternbach in his sefer says it's slightly different. He says the emor v'amarta is you have to say it differently to different kids. We know today in the education world there's a big spectrum of children today, and every kid needs to hear something differently than the other kid. Different than they heard it 5 years ago, different than they heard it 5 months ago. That's the way things change so quickly here. So he says the emor v'amarta, the two different amirs, you have two kids in front of you. They each need to hear it differently. One kid needs to hear it one way, and one kid needs to hear it a different way. One kid, you probably have to put it on a screen or send it to him in a message for him to realize it. The other kid, you sit down, you tell it to him. Kids are different today. Everyone's different. So the Em of Amarta, the two different Amirs, are to represent the idea that everyone's different. No one fits into that perfect box. Everyone's different. They have their own ways of hearing things and understanding things. And we have to make sure when we mechanech them kefi their havana, the way they understand things and the way their mind works. In the beginning of Parshas Em, the Torah gives us the restrictions of karchoi beroishoi, taking haircuts in a way that's not allowed, shaving one's beard. Blineda this Tuesday night, we'll touch upon that in the shiur about electric shavers and the halachic background behind it. But there's a famous Maral Diskin. I figure now's a good time to talk about it after everyone shaved already. No one can get upset. There's a famous Bishul Leib Diskin. Bishul Leib Diskin says, why does the Torah give a prohibition for the Kehanim not to cut their payas and to cut off their beards, which we'll learn on Tuesday is really true for all Jews? So Yeshua Leib Diskin writes, is because the difference between the Goyish leaders and the Jewish leaders are the Goyish leaders, they have to dress up to make themselves look special. They have to dress themselves up to give off some great honor and respect. They look different, they dress different, and that's why people respect them. As our Kehanim, our leaders, they look the same as we do. Their kedusha is not from what they wear or how they dress. Their kedusha is intrinsic. They're be'etzem, they're kaddish. So that's why the Torah gave us special restrictions for Kehanim not to dress themselves up, so to say, with how they cut their beard and their payas, because their kedusha is something intrinsic. There's an unbelievable medrash. The medrash says in the beginning of the parsha that Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu all the future dairis, all that's going to be coming out of the generations, all its future gedolim, all its leaders. And along with that, he also showed them all the future lowlifes of society. All the future gazlanim, all the future crooks of Klal Yisrael, all those people as well. So the obvious kash is, why does Moshe Rabbeinu need to see that? I understand Moshe Rabbeinu needs to see the future gedolim so he could at least connect to the future leaders. He was the first leader, so he could see the future leaders. Why does he have to see all the lowlifes of society? That's important for Moshe Rabbeinu to know who, in 2,000 years later, is going to try to do a scheme to rip off the government. Moshe Rabbeinu needs to see that. So Rabbi Fran explains beautifully, unbelievable pshat. He says, because we all know every generation, you've lived this more than I have, every time there's a new changeover of Gedolim, you say to yourself, come on, these Gedolim are not Gedolim. I remember the old Gedolim, I remember real Gedolim. The Gedolim of today, they're a bunch of jokesters. Okay, everyone says it. So says Rabbi Fran, he says, but you have to realize, why is it like that? The reason why it's like that is because the society has went down as well. It's not because we're not producing good Gedolim. Our Gedolim are representative of our generation. So the generation is on such a low level, so the Gedolim are going to be kefi that generation. So that's why Hashem had to show Moshe Rabbeinu both the Gedolim and the lowlifes. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is going to look at the future and see our Gedolim. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say, this is what I'm leaving Klai Yisrael with, these Gedolim. So Moshe Rabbeinu looks at them and says, come, what do you want me to do? Look, they're surrounded around. Look who else is in the generation, all these low-life people. So when you have a generation that's on such a low level, so then these are Gedolim, are going to be the Gedolim. So it says, Rabbi Friend, that's the connection between the two things. Moshe Rabbeinu needed to see the whole picture. Not just one element of society. Oh, our Gedolim are not like what they used to be. Yeah, there's a reason, because we're not what we're supposed to be. Everyone's so quick to blame the Gedolim. Oh, the Gedolim today, they're not like what we used to have. They're not like, you know, the Rishonim. That's right, because we're not like the times of the Rishonim. We went down in our levels of Yiddishkeit, so therefore our leaders are going to reflect that. So that's why it was important for Moshe Rabbeinu to see the whole picture. Both the Gedolim and the reflection of the society. Now again, this is obviously a hard thing to understand, because yeah, you look around, you see bigger Gedolim, and then you see the Gedolim of today, you say, come on, they don't come up to their toenails. Right, but neither do we. We're the generation of that generation was either. So keeping that in mind, I think it's a good way of dealing with this issue that many of us have of, oh, these are the Gedolim of today, come on, I could do a lot better. And I said, yeah, we could also do a lot better. We could be better. If we were to be better, it would reflect our Gedolim as well. At the end of the parasha, the Torah tells us a story of a Makalo where they... he's killed in public. And right after that, the Torah reminds us the prohibition of hitting and killing people. So I heard once from one of my rabbeim that he quoted B'shem the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma said, I heard this probably 15 years ago and I still haven't looked it up, but okay, I'll trust him. The Meshech Chachma says, what's the Smichas HaParshis? Why after the Torah tells us about this Mekalo, does it remind us Adam Kiyakish? So he says, because what happens was the whole Klai Yisrael saw this Yid being killed. They all saw death, murder in front of them. So the Meshech Chachma says, when a person sees death, he gets very, very desensitized. So what does it mean to kill? It's no big deal. You kill. That's what happened. We all killed him. We partook in the killing of this bad person. So then the attitude is that death is no longer something sacred. That's why right after the Kosh Baruch Hu say, no, it's not true. Ki Yikalo, if you're going to hit someone for no reason, you're going to get in trouble. And if you kill, you're going to get in trouble. Because what happens is the more we become desensitized to something, it loses its importance. We live in a generation today where, because of all that kids see today, you know, TVs and movies, there's such a desensitivity to death, to killing, to hitting. They have no chashivas of what these things mean, because they see it all the time. And in the video games, they're made up with it. So the Torah is telling us, when we see something so often, it loses the impact on us. To quote the great Golda Meir, she said, I have a lot of tainas on what the Arabs did, but the worst thing they did was they made our good Jewish boys into killers. Very, very sadistic of it. We took good Jewish boys who would have normally had no connection to death, to murder, and now they have to go out and kill. Now, of course, they're doing it l'shma, and they're doing it for a mitzvah, but at the end of the day, you become desensitized when you have to go around and killing people. I always joke, people that are not Hatzalah, it has to be that Shabbos has a different feeling. Because for us, Shabbos is so sacred. We'll never get into a car, we'll never turn on light. For them, they have to. But at the end of the day, it has to come along with the fact that it's just no longer so sacred because of the fact that they have to do what they have to do. So for us, when we have things that are so sacred to us, we have to realize that the reason why it's chashiv to us is because we view it like that. The moment it starts to slip away, it's going to lose that power of chashivs. Last week was Pesach Sheni. No, not much to talk about Pesach Sheni on a halachic level, but the mutzah, I think, is very powerful for Pesach Sheni. The Torah tells us these people who missed Pesach Rishon, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, we want a Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says, who were these people? So the Gemara in Sukkah has a bunch of pshatim. One of the pshatim was, it was those people that were being metapel with the kvura of Nadav Aviv. Not only that, it was their seventh day of Tumah was done on Erev Pesach. So they remember a day off for being able to bring Karmen Pesach. So what's the lesson of Pesach Sheni? The lesson is that these Yidden had the best excuse in the world. The best excuse in the world to be exempt from Pesach Sheni, from Pesach Rishon. So they tell Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't want to be exempt. We want to be in it. We don't want to look for loopholes. We don't want to look for heterim. We want to be part of this major experience of Karban Pesach. So the lesson of Pesach Sheni is that many times in life we look for loopholes, and some of them are not even good, and some of our excuses definitely are not good. But these people have the best excuses in the world. And that's why the Torah says who they are. The Torah says that we're people that are Tamei Nefesh. They might ask, who were they? Who cares who they were? Why is that important for the story? The answer is because they take a Musa Haska from these tzaddikim that had an easy way out of doing something. And they decided not to go for it. They took the hard way instead of the easy way. And that's, to me, the Musa Haska of Pesach Sheni. And that's why I believe one of the creators that Torah and Chalumayt is Pesach Sheni. It always bothered me.
What's going to shaykh is Pesach Sheni to Pesach Rishon? So the simple answer is because we ran out of things to talk about, so we got to find something. But I think the pshat maybe Alpi Musar is more than that, because by the time we hit Chol Moed, we're already done with Pesach. We had enough. The matzah is too crunchy, and our stomachs hurt, and we want bread, and we're already done with Pesach. So we read Pesach Sheni. Look at these jinn. You guys have the mitzvah, and you're complaining about it. Pesach Sheni, these were yidden who were exempt. They had the best excuse in the world, but they pushed themselves to want to be in it. So you that have a mitzvah to be in Pesach, stop complaining so much. I think it's a very valuable lesson. The lesson of Pesach Sheni, although it doesn't carry all that much halachic discussion, yeah, you eat matzah, you don't eat matzah, you tachlin or no tachlin, but at the end of the day, I think the mitzvah haskel of Pesach Sheni is very powerful. That many times in life we look for excuses, we look for heterim, and the Torah is showing us that these special yidden weren't looking for the loophole, they weren't looking for the easy way out, and so they wanted to be involved, they wanted to be part of the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. Okay, today's show we're going to discuss today's Yom Tov, the Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer, both in Halacha and in Lomdus, and if there's time, maybe even a little Hashkafa, because I think it's relevant to the sugya. The Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer, where exactly does it come from, and what does it carry along with it? So in order to answer this question, we have to go back to the very famous Gemara in Yevamos, Samach Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara tells us a story. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 peers, which is 24,000. Talmidim, he gave us that antifas, they all died in one period of time. Why? Okay, we'll leave that off of the Darshanim to figure out what that means. But the Gemara says that they died. The word was desolate. Until Rabbi Akiva made a comeback, he taught Torah again. Who were his Talmidim? Reb Meir, Behuda, Reb Yosef, Reb Shimon. This Reb Shimon is also known as Reb Shimon Bayechai. So after Reb Akiva had a devastating loss of losing his entire yeshiva, 24,000, I made a cheshbon how many levayas there were a day. If there's 24,000, and the stum they didn't make levayas on Shabbos, and there were no levayas on Cholamoid, so if you crunch the numbers, you have about 33 days of levayas. So if you do 24,000 into 33, just to figure how many levayas there were a day, just to put it into perspective, how many levayas a day. There was a lot. So for over this time, all these Talmidim died. Then Rabbi Akiva made a comeback and taught Torah again. And one of his Talmidim that he taught again was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay. Zakti Gemara, hey, me, and me did Torah Oisisha. They were the ones who brought Torah back at that time. Okay. Zakti Gemara, this is what's important. Tana. Kula Mesu mi Pesach v'ara Teres. They all died when, Zakti Gemara? Between Pesach and Shavuos. So if the assumption of the Gemara is correct that they died from Pesach until Shavuos, then Lag BaOmer really makes no sense. They're still dying. They died today, they died tomorrow, they died the next day, they died all the way up to Shavuos. So if you want to make anything Yom Tov, make Shavuos a Yom Tov. Why? Where does today work its way in? There's no connection to the death of the Talmidim because they're still dying. According to the simple reading of the Gemara in Yevamos, they died from Amish for 49 days straight. That's a real casualty. 49 days they died, according to the Gemara. So if you look over here, number 2, in the Beis Yosef, he quotes a Medrash. So Shemat Ishesh B'Medrash Shemesh B'Pesach at Purus Atzeres. Now you have to add one word to our Gemara. Not Aratzeres until Shavuos, but until Prus Atzeres. What does Prus Atzeres mean? V'hu tezvav yom kodem Atzeres. It means 15 days before Shavuos. Changes the whole world of the sugya. Instead of saying that they died up until Shavuos, they died up until 15 days before Shavuos. Why? Like the Mishnah says in Shkolim, Prus HaPesach, Prus HaChag, Shem Chamisha Aser Yom Nisan, U'Betishrei Kishachase Chamisha Aser Yom Arba Metishri Yom. So now we know it's 15 days up until Shavuos. So Dr. Beis Yosef, now we need to do some math. If so, we're taking the Gemara out of its literal translation, that means they died till Shavuos, and we're saying they only died up until Prus Shavuos, till 15 days before Shavuos, so it's no longer 49 full days, it's 49 minus 15. Zakti Beis Yosef, if so, if you'll do some math, if you'll subtract 15 from 49, nisharu shloshim v'arbaim, and it'll leave after 34. It's 33 full days and 34 a partial day. And therefore we can take haircuts on the 34th day. So the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch's minig is that Talmid Rabbi Akiva died today and they died tomorrow also. They died tomorrow also. They stopped dying tomorrow. On Lag BaOmer, on the 34th day of Omer is when they stopped dying. But they died a little bit in the morning as well. Therefore you have to keep Avelus all the days that they died, including the last day that they died. Therefore, according to Svardim, the reason why you're allowed to take a haircut tomorrow is because tomorrow we apply a principle of Miktus Hayom Kikulei. Although tomorrow they should really be an Avelus till the end of the day, we do the same thing by a real Shiva. We don't know when sits full days, full 7 days. People sit 6 full days and a little bit into the 7th day. We apply the principle of Miktus Hayom Kikulei. So says the Beis Yosef here also. So that's Pshat in the Minik Svardim. Shulchan Aruch writes, we'll see in a minute, Shulchan Aruch writes that Svardim don't take haircuts today, they take haircuts tomorrow. Why? Because they have this Medrash. The Medrash says they died, they stopped dying 15 days before Pesach, before Shavuos. So if you do 49 minus 15, it leaves you with 34. So there's 34 days completely, 33 full days, and 34 a little bit. So that's the Pshat in the Svardim, and why Svardim don't take a haircut till tomorrow.
Where's the word Prus?
Where's
that come from?
So he quotes it's a Mishnah in Shkolim, we find such a word Prus.
That
it means, right, it means 15 before. Now, This is a big chiddush. This is mamish connected to the Gemara. The Gemara says Adat Tzaris, you read the Gemara literally. But the truth is, it's mefurish like this in others. For example, if you look at number 3, the Me'iri writes explicitly like this. The Me'iri writes, the Kabbalah biyad ha-ge'onim. He says we have a Kabbalah from the times of the Ge'onim. That what? Shebiyoyim lamed gimel ba'oyim paska hamisa. He says that unlock ba'oyim itself. Not like the way the Mechaber described it, that actually today they stopped dying. Therefore, Zokte Me'iri, umitoich kach noigim sholeles anes bo. And that's why there's a minig not to fast. And that's why there's a veilus until this time, because that they died. The chiddush of this Me'iri is twofold. First chiddush is that he disagrees with the way the Beis Yosef sets up the equation, and according to him, part of the Kabbalah wasn't only that they didn't die till Shavuos, is when they died. So we're having a machloikis, we showed him when they died, which is a bit strange because that's something which is Efshel Zvayr. Find that the history books, and you know, again, I would go with the Ga'inim because they were just closer in history to the storyline. You know, they were there. They were right after the time. They knew a little better. But the way it seems like that, it's Mamash Machloikis Rishayim, Mechaber and Ramah, or Mechaber and other Rishayim, when they stop dying. According to the Svarim, they stop dying tomorrow. So then tomorrow is all the restrictions are lifted. According to us, they stop dying today. So today all the restrictions are lifted. It's not a Lomdash Machloikis. It's a physical, it's Yiddish. Did they, didn't they die?
Are you relearning Christ also or not?
No, he doesn't work like that. Sounds like not. Exactly. That's why he starts with Kabbalah Miyad HaGoyim. That's why he starts. That's his Akdoma. Chava Kabbalah from the Goyim. Once you say that, it's like, don't ask questions on me. I'm just telling you what I learned from my Rebbeim. But it says he has a Kabbalah from the Goyim. Doesn't fit into the words of the Gemara at all. That they stopped dying on Akbayim. Although the Gemara does not imply like that, that's the way it goes. But what's the second chiddush of Me'iri, and this is a big part of today's sugya, is he says, means Mavon Me'iri, that the Hafsakas HaMisa, the stopping of the dying, wasn't enough just to remove Avelis, but it added an element of not fasting is a display of simcha. He's learning that because they stopped dying, that's a sibah for not only not being sad, but for actively being happy. That pashas one would have thought is hard to understand. Very nice, they stopped dying, good, so there's no longer to be Avelis. But that's not a sibah to stop being happy. I understand, they stopped dying, good, so we can remove all the Avelis that we've been doing. But that doesn't equal go out and be happy. It means don't be sad. There's no mitzvah to be happy. So that's one of the earliest sources in Rishonim to this idea that you see from the Me'iri that there is something going on Lag B'Omer that is a source for not only stopping the Avelos but active simcha in a positive way, which the Chayrit Tzarech Bir, where does that come from?
But both sheep deserve problematic because for those who are knowing
post. Yeah, for the second sphere, it's even more complicated.
Right,
yeah, that tomorrow needs its own discussion. So if you look over here in the Be'er Halacha, I talked a little bit, it's a little discussed over here in the Be'er Halacha about how that works. The pashtus is the two minhagim are really all the same idea. What we call the two minhagim, and this is probably the three minhagim, the two minhagim are really based on the same idea that we're commemorating the days that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died. The first sphere is debating when they died. Did they die between Pesach and Talag Ba'imer? The second sheet might hold that they didn't die during these days specifically. They died over a span of 33 days, and we chose these 33 days as the days when Noeg Avelis. The Be'er Halacha makes the cheshbon that they only died on days where you don't say, days where they said where there was no Tachon and they didn't die. So he comes up with the cheshbon, so that's how he gets to 33. He takes off Shabbos, he takes off Rosh Chodesh, he takes off Pesach, the whole cheshbon. So then the pshat is we're not doing day for day. Then we just pick 33 days throughout this time, and we're knowing Avelis during that time. That's the pashat of pshat in what's called the second minhag. According to the first minhag, the pshat is no, we're going day for day. They started dying here, they ended here, and we're doing that exact time frame of the Avelis. Now, if you look at Mechab and Shulchan Aruch before, the Mechab writes clearly, Noegim Shalei Listaper Ad Lam Begimu Lo Imer, Sha'imim Sha'oz Paskul Milomos, the English stopper Adjim Lamedalba Baker. You can't take haircut until the Monday. Well, to this year is Monday morning because according to the Sfarim, the way the Beis Yosef understood it is they die tomorrow. They die today. They die tomorrow. So today we can't stop the veils. Tomorrow we can stop the veils only with Mikta Sayim Kikulei. So you have to wait till it's a little bit into the day. Then you can shave. Comes along drama number 5. Zakti Ramo Hago Ube Bedinas Elu Ein Noigim Kidvarov. That's not what we Ashkenazim do. We take haircuts already on 33, which is today. Umar bin Bog Tza Simcha. And we also increase our Simcha. Not clear why. Where did that come from? But the Ramah writes it. The Ramah writes. And again, it's based on the Me'iri Kinira. The Me'iri says you're not supposed to fast on Lag Ba'omer. So you see that there is something special about the day.
Is there any guidance as to how to apply Mixasayim Kula?
Yes.
And why don't you say Mixasayim? Maybe they only died in the morning, but Mixasayim Kula, so we should be sad the whole day. Why
yeah,
do you
so
think
we're
the other way that
we're going to talk a little bit.
we should be, we only have to have a veil as part.
So we're going to have to talk a little bit more about mitzvahs and kekule, which is beyond today's shiva. We'll try to touch upon a little bit of it.
The Meiri holds it also.
Yeah. So look, I would assume that Ramah got it from there. Then the Ramah adds, ve'ein oim about tachanun. We don't say tachanun, which is what we didn't do today, right? No tachanun. So it sounds like from the Ramah, that's a fulfillment of marbim b'ketzas simcha. The way you express simcha, one of those things, we'll call it not so much a siba, but more of a simin, that you're marbim simcha, you don't say tachanun. Days that are of simcha, there's no tachanun. Dr. Ramah further, ve'ein l'staber ad lamed gibel ba'atzma v'loy mi be'erev. Nonetheless, Dr. Ramah, even though you're not saying tachanun, you're not allowed to take hirkos until lag ba'imer itself, and not mi be'erev. So I think the way most of us would have read this Ramah, the Lo Yimi Be'erev means the night prior to Lag Ba'Omer, which would have been the last night. Meaning, although Lag Ba'Omer is a Yom Simcha, we're supposed to be happy and joy, but that's tomorrow. Meaning today, not last night. Last night was not a reason to be happy.
Or does Mi Be'erev mean if it was Shabbos, would be, let's say, like before Shkia?
What?
In other words, or maybe when it means Lo Yimi Be'erev, if let's say it wouldn't be Shabbos.
Yes. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. That's the way Rabbi Yaakov Emden learns it. But I think there's a lot of problems with learning like that. But we'll see.
How do they do all these?
We'll try to be miyashiv that also. Yeah, that's the agenda of today. Try to answer up how the Lag Ba'Omer parties work with Shulchan Aruch. Maybe they don't. I don't know. I think they do, but we'll try to see how it works. But I think the way most of us would have read this Ramah is Ein l'staper ad lamed gibel ba'atzmoy v'loy be'erev, means you wouldn't be allowed to take the night preceding Lag Ba'Omer. I think that's the pashut, the way of reading it. Then the Ramah goes on, if like happened this year that Lag Ba'Omer falls on Sunday, so then Allah is allowed to take haircuts on Friday. Just on a side note, it's not a game now, but it's Be'emes HaMachloikis Rishonim. The Da'ikim Moshe brings down two shitas between the Ma'aril and the Merivayel, if you're allowed to take haircuts last Friday. The Ramah wrote, Nagu, the minig is we all do it. And that's true, the minhag is we all do it. But Be'emes is a machloikis rishonim. If you were to look in Darkei Moshe, when the Ramah brings down two shitas, he doesn't really pick sides. He just says, Maril says no, Marivaya says yes, and that's the end of the piece. So, Lachrein Tumu, why was it so simple to the Ramah to be Mekel? Why was he Mekel? Machloikis rishonim, how do you know which way to go? So, just on a side note, there's the Moridik Levush. The Levush says the reason why he was Mekel is because on Sunday the haircuts used to be given by Goyim. Sunday the Goyim weren't working. It was a day off for them.
So that's why he wouldn't give a haircut. He said said not till today. You
couldn't tell. Oh, really?
He didn't allow it on Friday.
I think if you look in the Levush, I don't think that's what the Levush.
He doesn't. I know.
I think if you look in the Levush, the Levush doesn't mean that. The Levush means he wants to know why was the Ramah Mekel. Why was the Ramah Mekel on Achleik Rishonim? So Levush says because you have Achleik Rishonim. Now whatever you can pile up to make the equation better, you pile up. So the fact that you can't get a haircut on Sunday because the game are not open, so what? So that's somehow zilzul for Lag Ba'Omer. So it tips the scale now to be machriya like the other side of the Rishonim. That's not why the Rishonim said what they said. It's clear. If you look in the Rishonim, they didn't say it's mutter because of the game. They said it's mutter because of Kavod Shabbos. But that's a machloikis Rishonim. There's another machloikis achreinim between, I'll call it Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Shmuel Kamenetsky, that what happens the last night? Let's say I didn't take a haircut on Erev Shabbos. I was too busy. I wasn't in the mood. Could I have taken a haircut last night? No. So Shlomo Zalman Paskins, no. Because what type of covered Shabbos is there? Shabbos is already over. Shmuel Kamenetsky learns the Marivayel a whole way. That according to Marivayel, the pshat was that on Friday the Avelis ended. It's not the pshat that we pushed aside the Avelis because of Shabbos. We made what's called the Hafsakas Avelis. We ended the Avelis. So Mel, he held, if you stop the Avelis, it doesn't come back on Matzei Shabbos. Okay, that's his Chiddush.
Is it beside the Shabbos though?
That's a separate question. His Talmud in the Sefer Kerbet Halachas, he asks Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, what about this? Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky told him he never saw anywhere this halacha that you're not allowed to shave on Matzah Shabbos if you didn't shave on Friday. Everyone knows it, but it's not such a halacha. It's made up. It doesn't say anywhere that you're not allowed to shave on Matzah Shabbos if you didn't shave on Friday. Shmuel Kamenetsky says it's made up. That's what he says. So if he says it's made up, I trust him. But everyone has it in their head that this is like one of the Gimel Ikrim. Chas v'sham to shave on a Matzah Shabbos if you didn't shave on Friday. He says the whole thing is made up. But that's already a machloikis, contemporary achreinim, how to understand the heter of shaving on Friday. Ephraim Greenblatt writes that let's say you have a person who doesn't want to shave on Friday.
He didn't have time.
So the shayla is because you're allowed to shave, maybe you have to shave, because if not, it's not even covered Shabbos. So I always thought that was the case. He quotes from a bunch of people, they said, no, since it is a machloikis v'shayinim, so you can say, no, I hold like the Maril. So if you come into shul last Shabbos, you didn't shave, you can tell people, no, I'm a Maril guy, I follow the Maril. Maril said it's also, so I didn't shave. The lashon of the Ramah is not that you have, the Ramah is noigim. No, that's what the custom was, that's what the Vel did. But he held, I think Rabbi Yashav held like this also, that if you choose to follow the other Mahalach and the Rishonim, that's not a bezoin to Shabbos. That's the way they come out. But in any case, that's all with regard to this year, because the way Lag Ba'Omer fell out. But let's say in a regular year, let's say last night, putting aside all the cheshbonos of Shabbos. So Pashas, according to the simple reading of the Rambam, one would not be allowed to take a haircut last night, nor would any other dini avelos end last night. You wouldn't be allowed to make a chasana last night. You wouldn't be allowed to listen to music last night. All the restrictions are in place last night until this morning. Question is why? So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah over here, very important Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah writes in number 7 that we don't say tachanun on this morning. Not only don't we say tachanun this morning, we didn't even say tachanun yesterday. Those of us were aware of it that we didn't say tachanun, we didn't say tzitkoscha, which is in the place of tachanun. So already, erev lag boimer, we don't say tachanun. Okay. Zakti Mishnah Berurah, but you can't take a haircut until lag boimer. Hainu, la'acha shetene tzachama. So clearly the Mishnah Berurah understood the Ramah that when he says v'loim b'erev, it means the night preceding it. On that says the Mishnah Berurah, okay, so how early can I take a haircut today? Says the Mishnah Berurah, after Netzachama. V'atam l'didu, what's the pshat? Because gam came mishum de mixayim kekula. Because you also have to use mixayim kekula. Because we Ashkenazim hold that they died today also. They stopped sometime in the afternoon, whenever they stopped. So we have to keep avelos today also. So how do we keep avelos today? We apply mixayim kekula. Okay. So after Mishnah Berurah, v'loim b'erev. Okay, so let's stop for a second. What's the obvious kasha right now? What should be bothering many of you is, one second, if you're telling me now that everything they still died, so why would we stop saying Tachanun Erev Lag Boimer? Again, if you're telling me that the Avelus continues up until today, and today included, and the only reason why I like to take a haircut today is because we apply a chab called Mitzayim Kekulai, which means yesterday was definitely not a happy day. So if yesterday wasn't a happy day, nor was last night a happy day, which is why the Ramah says you're not take a haircut last night, so why wouldn't we say Tachanun yesterday? Tachanun is always associated with Simcha. So if Tachanun was associated with Simcha, there was no Sibas HaSimcha yesterday. Definitely not. Haraya last night, you wouldn't be allowed to shave. Last night, you couldn't listen to music. Last night, you couldn't make a chasana.
But that's so, if we don't say it, I don't know why.
So that's what we got to get to. That's what we have to try to figure out. Why in a regular Erev Yom Tov don't we, and why this is a little bit more shvet? We're going to get to that. We don't.
No, it's on Fridays in general. We
no, by Mincha we don't. Right. So the Pashup Shad is, before and like this, in many, Shlomo Zalman and others explain it like this, that the reason why we don't say Tachanun on Erev Yom Tov is because since the Yom Tov start at night, and Mincha is the tefillah right next to it, so we're already ushering in the Kedusha, the Simcha, whatever word you want to use. Which is why Yerushalmi Zalman himself writes, for those people who didn't say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni, which apparently this became another big, widely accepted thing, it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch not to say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni. Nowhere.
Here in the Yom Yisrael, they said,
okay, very good. It doesn't say anywhere. Also doesn't say anywhere to eat matzah, but that's a different shmus. But okay, in any case, those are also very sacred halacha. I met people, they didn't eat matzah, the mamash thought the world came to an end. They didn't eat matzah on Pesach Sheni. He thought that the mamash felt so depressed, like, I also didn't sit in the sukkah, you know, it's okay. It's no mitzvah. I once heard Rishon Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, he said, what's Pesach Sheni? It's a Yom Tov for Tmeim. What's a big simcha? I'm not so into Yom Tov. Yom Tov for Tmeim. That's Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. He can say such a thing. But in any case, so Pesach Sheni, for those people who didn't say Tachanun, what about Erev Pesach Sheni? So many people figure, what do you mean? There's a rule. Whenever you don't say Tachanun, you don't say Tachanun. But Rav Shmuel Zalman points out, you missed the idea. There's no Yom Tov called Pesach Sheni. It's not like we'll call it, there's no chaloy shem yom tov Pesach Sheni. Nervos is for those people who brought the Karban Pesach, for them was a yom tov. When did they bring the Karban Pesach? Ben Arbaim. When is Ben Arbaim? Between Chatzois and nightfall on Yudalad. So why would you not be saying Tachanun the Mincha before? There's no yom tov the night going into Yudalad. There was nothing going on. Right, someone told me they didn't eat matzah that night. I said, good, you weren't supposed to eat matzah then. Even if you're going to eat matzah, you should eat matzah when they would have eaten the matzah. They wouldn't have eaten the matzah Erev Yudalad. They would have eaten it on Yudalad. They actually would have eaten it Lel Yudalad. Right? Many people makbetit it the next night, which really makes more sense. The reason why we don't do that is because you might run into an issue of Baltasif. You run into an issue of Baltasif. His mom's like, you're adding on to mitzvahs, because that's his money. Because you think it's a mitzvah. You speak to these people, they'll tell you it's a mitzvah, right? They'll go out and buy another $27 worth of hand matzah. That's a mitzvah. But according to this, the reason why we always say a tachanun the Erev before is because we're right next to the Haskalah of Yom Tov. But on Pesach Sheni, we're not next to anything. Because 5 o'clock, whatever, you have Mincha 7:30 on Erev Pesach Sheni, so the first night, that's not a Yom Tov. The Yom Tov doesn't start all the way till the next day, Ben Arbaim. So there's no reason not to say tachanun. Even though there are some shuls that don't say tachanun, but okay, the minhag is not like that. Now, if so, if we're following that lumdus, so what's the explanation of the lack of tachanun? It means that the Yom Tov is right there. So how does that fit with the Lag B'Omer? Erev Lag B'Omer, there's no Yom Tov anywhere in sight. The Yom Tov doesn't start till the next morning. So why would we not be saying Tachanun the Erev Lag B'Omer? That's the $1 billion cash on the whole sugya over here. Why is there no Tachanun on the Erev of Lag B'Omer if the Yom Tov of Lag B'Omer, the Simcha of Lag B'Omer, doesn't start till the next morning? In order to answer this, we have to see one more line in the Mishnah Berurah number 7. The Mishnah Berurah adds over here, he says, you should know, although the Ramah writes, you're not allowed to take haircuts, Yesh Ma'achreinim Shemekilim Lehistabim Mi Be'erev. that were achrayim, they held you could take haircuts on the night before Lag BaOmer. V'sayu ma'aliy rabbi, and the rabbi concludes the mikom okim le'inyan soon later isim mekilim. But weddings, not even a question. That you can't do. Ki b'yoyim lam gimel ba'omer v'atzim v'loy b'layel shalafan. There's no way you can make weddings the night before. Although you might be allowed to take a haircut, weddings, that's for sure not allowed. Okay, however, kishachal lag ba'omer be'erev Shabbos v'lo shasat chak lasis b'yoyim efshur sheyesh lohok lasis b'layel shalafan. Okay. So what is the Ramah telling us? That there were definitely communities that would take haircuts the night before Lag BaOmer, but they wouldn't make weddings. So that's very strange. They would take haircuts and not make weddings. What's the Pashat Pshat in understanding that minug? The Pashat Pshat in understanding that minug is we mentioned that in the Rishonim there were different levels of dinim for this time period. Medina de Gemara, there's no restrictions during this time period. This whole Avelos is from the times of the Goyim and maybe the Rishonim. So the first level restriction was haircuts. It was weddings. That was widely accepted. There were those who wanted to debate it. There's a tshuva where those people wanted to fight it, and they got married during that time, and it didn't work out. The shidduch didn't work out. So that was like a Simon HaShemayim. It's not a good time to make weddings now, and people stopped making weddings.
When that minhag was instituted, was that for only the 33-day period, or the entire...
So the Torah writes, they didn't make weddings from Pesach until Shavuos. I was told that that's the way it was in Europe. The Imam had no chasnas, everything was closed. Today it's Mamash a joke. Today they take off chasnas for 17 days. From a Shchayr, this is a Lag BaOmer. It's Mamash a very few days.
I think that's also new. 25 years.
Yeah?
Yeah,
25
years.
Used to not believe them. Toshvus.
I can tell you quickly, I asked Rav Shmuel first in Shchayr, I had a chasnas in 1976, and my parents didn't want to let me go before Shchayr. So Rav Moshe just came out with his tshuva then, in 1976, saying that even you could hold the minhag and it's not a problem.
Right, right, no, no.
You know, you could go and continue on.
Today, because of various reasons, today it's not much, it's not a places, it's not this, whatever it is, we'll add it to the shidduch crisis. But the nice thing, we make chasnas the whole time.
Catering
a lot. Yeah. Today it's a very short time that there's no simchas. maybe. Back upon him, the question over here is why would there be more mako with haircuts than weddings? So the pashat pshat is because weddings were clearly banned, without a doubt. Weddings were usher during this time. So that was an accepted meaning. That they're not willing to be pushed on. But the haircuts, it's mavor in the Bach, that the haircuts was not accepted in every community. Some communities didn't accept the haircut ban. They said, no, why can't I take a haircut? What's wrong with taking a haircut? So some communities didn't accept the haircut ban. It was mamish community by community. The Bach says, today we all accepted it, so we're not allowed to break it.
When didn't the whole time long?
There was no restrictions on haircuts. Not every community adapted this issur. So that's the pshat in this Ramah. In the Mishnah Berurah, why would some communities be makel the night before? Because maybe already the night before, maybe there is a reason. Plus the fact it could be they never really accepted it anyways. So it's more makel. That's why they were allowed to get away with it. But weddings, which was widely accepted across all communities to ban it, that was not allowed to be done the night before. The other way of saying it could be is that weddings are much more joyous experiences than cutting your hair. Cutting your hair is nice, but I don't know too many people that dance around a circle when they cut their hair. But for weddings, it's much more of an expression of simchas. Maybe that's
all. Public,
right, that's also right. I think we understand the difference between weddings and haircuts. Now, what's interesting over here is that the Chag Yaakov is bothered with the kash that we just brought up. Why is it that we're not saying tachlon on Erev Lag BaOmer, but we're also not allowed to take a haircut? Those two things don't seem to work together. So the Chag Yaakov points out over here, he writes, that if you look at some of the other minhagim, he writes over here, Udmaril kasav aminig ba'ashkenaz, shebeshachos einam tachano, mashenkei be'erev oim tachano. Taka, there were those people who did say tachano in Erev Lag BaOmer, which actually makes a lot of sense. You should say tachano.
The question. Erev Shabbos, we're not saying mincha. We're not saying tachano.
Right.
It's not because it's...
No, it's chatzos erev.
What?
No. On a regular year. That's because Shabbos is coming. Because Shabbos is in a few minutes.
Shabbos is coming, but there's no question that it may be Shabbos. So what's the question?
What do you mean it may be?
The question is, why are we not taking a haircut Erev Lag BaOmer?
Right.
But we're also not saying Tachanun.
Right.
We're not saying Tachanun because it's happy.
Right. So then why can't we?
Happy, why can't we take a haircut?
Right.
Erev Shabbos, it's because it's leading to the happy day, not because it has any Indian of the happy days.
Well, so we all agree.
You still can't take a haircut because it's still not Lag BaOmer, but it's leading it.
Right, but that means the leading should be coming soon. It's not coming so soon. It's not for another 12 hours. It's not until the following morning. By Erev Shabbos, so it's leading into the night. So the night is a joyous time. The assumption over here is the night is meaningless. So if the night is not a joyous time, so we're really far away. So that's the kasha.
Is it leading to the day or is it leading to the time?
Well, again, we're a little far off. We're a couple hours short. That's the kasha. So the Chag Yaakov brings down, there were those minhagim, that I could say tachron Erev Lag BaOmer. Itaka did say tachlin. Why? Vimke mashikasev gamke dein lestaper alag bayba atmoi whom marry alpim in hagai. So zok the chigakim flushi tasei. If you hold, you don't say tachlin on erev Lag Boimer, and you tackle hold that if you don't say tackle, then you should be allowed to take a haircut. When the Maril said you're not allowed to take a haircut, that's the Maril Lishitasa who held, you say tackle and have Lag Boimer. Because Maril Shitasa held nothing starts till the next morning. However, says the Chik Yanka, but if you tackle not like that, which is what all of us do, we all don't say Tachan on Erev Lag Boimer, we in theory should be allowed to take a haircut on Erev Lag Boimer. Imam wants to change the Ramah. He wants that his whole Ramah was based on a Maril, and that's the Maril Shitasa. If you look in the number, I wrote over here, number 10, they quote from Rabban Cutler, I heard this B'Shem Rav Moshe, that Rabban held that B'Mokam HaTzayich, a person can take a haircut Erev Lag Boimer after Mincha. Why is Dr. Baron? Because you're not saying Tachlin. If you're not saying Tachlin, you should be allowed to take a haircut. That was the Baron's response. The Baron's response was that it's Lushitosai. If you're not saying Tachlin, you're following those Minhagim, then it should go hand in hand that you're not allowed to say that you're allowed to take a haircut. Although the Ramah seems to say not like that, supposedly with Baron, I heard this B'Shem Reb Moshe also, that maybe Yutaka could take a haircut Erev Lag Boimer after Mincha because it's Tal Zeb Zeb.
But let's just go back to the Simcha aspect. So if Rabbi Akiva's students are being punished.
We're not there yet. We have to first get to that. Well, we have to first figure out what the day is, and then we'll figure out why the day is the way it is.
Well, but forget it, put it the day aside. Just conceptually. If they're being punished, and now they've stopped being punished. So why would the stopping be
We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. We have to first figure out what the day is, and then we'll figure out why
it
is
the way. It's not like a calamity.
We'll get to it. That's the pre-chadish discussion.
They're being punished.
Yes, let's see. So if you look at number 10, the Shari Tshuva brings down a pshat from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden turns this Ramah upside down, in my opinion. He learns the Ramah, that the Ramah doesn't mean you're not allowed to take a haircut the night of. It means you're not allowed to take a haircut Erev Lag Boimer. Erev Lag Boimer, you're not allowed to take a haircut because that's too early. But the night, you are allowed to take a haircut. So when he writes Erev, he doesn't mean the nighttime after Tzeisik Chavim. He means like what he calls Erev Shabbos. It means the afternoon of. So Zokter, the way you read the Ramah according to this Rabbi Yaakov Emden, you're not allowed to take your haircut Erev Lag Boimer, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But once it hits nightfall, Avadi, you're allowed to take your haircut. This would answer up the Kasha. This would be Lushitosai. Because if you learn it like that, Taka makes a lot of sense. Because why? Avadi, the Yom Tov starts already at night. Which is why by Mincha we don't say Tachanun. But again, the Yom Tov is not there yet. And since the Yom Tov is not there yet, you're not allowed to take your haircut. But because it's so close to the Haskalos Yom Tiv, you could take a haircut.
So you're simply, even though people still don't.
Right, so we're allowed to not say Tachanun because we're so close to the end of it, but we're not yet there. Because I was always bothered with the Kasha. Why does the Ramah to speak that out? You're not allowed to take a haircut. Why would you think you are allowed to take a haircut? So someone might say to themselves, well, I'm not saying Tachanun, so if I'm not saying Tachanun, I'm allowed to take a haircut. Like Rabbi Kotler ruled, that if I'm not saying Tachanun, it means the Simcha starts. And the answer is no, the Simcha doesn't start now. The Simcha is starting soon. Because the Simcha is close and within reach, that's why you're allowed to not say Tachanun now, but you're still not allowed to take a haircut.
I'm not saying altogether. What happens on Erev Shabbos? You also don't say Tachanun. Right. It's not Shabbos.
Right, again. So, the idea of
it's close,
that's the whole premise. The reason why we're not saying Tachanun is because it's close to the Yom Tif or the Haskalos HaSimcha. And that's why we don't say it. That's the Svara. So here also, we're close to it. But the night is not a Simcha. According to what we learned till now, the night is not the end. By Shabbos, so Friday night is a Siba for Simcha. So when you're davening Mincha, Erev Shabbos, you're close to the closest time. But not if Lag Boimer doesn't start till the morning, you're one Zman, you're one Shah off, you're a whole period of time off. You're too early. That's the cash that we had.
So fit Rav Yaakov Emden into the words of Ramah.
It doesn't.
This is why. Bein Omrim Bo Tachanun, Bein Lo Stapra, Abin Yom La'atzmo, good. Omri Be'er. Omri Be'er means what?
Not Erev Lag Boimer. Now I take a haircut Erev Lag Boimer, but you're allowed to take the night of Lag Boimer.
So if you're saying Erev Lag Boimer means like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right, like Erev Shabbos, exactly. That's what he says. That's the way he learns the Ramah. So the question is, what would the Havim mean to be? Why would you have thought? So I would have said the Havim is like a brown color actually says. You would have thought since you're not saying Tachanun, so it's as chalas a Yom Tov. But if you know the Lomnus, you know that's not the Pshat. It's not the Pshat that the Yom Tov is actually now. The Yom Tov is in near sight. I don't understand why one would learn the Ramah that way. I
it's
found
not
later.
In near sight if it's not until the next
No, no. If you, but Lishitasa, you would say it is. You would say it's in near sight. You would say that Taka, the Yom Tov is already the night before. And then you tackle all that, take a haircut at night.
Erev Shabbos starts at 9 o'clock. You know, Erev Shabbos starts right in the morning. Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Erev Shabbos, right? So it's like Erev Lag, but Omer means the entire day.
Right.
So I would have thought I could take a haircut.
I
say Tachanun in Shachris on Friday.
Right.
Maybe
again,
only in the afternoon. That's Meba Erev.
Right. That's the way they learn. So I attack a found later on. I found the Rotzka Tzvi learns like this. He takes it for Dava Pasha. That's Pshat in the Ramah. He doesn't mention that it's the Rav Yaakov Emden, but to me, it's the Tzorach in Gadol to learn the Ramah like that. I think it's very hard to understand both alumnus. He thinks the Rotzka Tzvi thinks it reads better because he should have wrote Vein the Stapper Ad Lamed Gimel Ba'atzmai. What does it mean Lamed Gimel Ba'atzmai itself? He should have worded it differently. So he thinks also to read like this, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that the Ramah means you're allowed to take your haircut at night, which means all the festive joyousness starts at night. Everything starts at night. And that's why there's no tachanun by Erev Lag Boimer. But when it's Ramah says you can't take a haircut, it means you can't take a haircut Erev Lag Boimer. But Lag Boimer, Belailah, that you could do. It's a whole different way of learning the sing.
By the way, does music and haircuts always go hand in hand or not?
We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, I hope. We'll see if that's necessarily Tawazabaz. If Salvation has a piece in Harry Kedem, we want to be mazbe with the machloikis that we mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah. We mentioned that there's machloikis in the Mishnah Berurah whether or not you're allowed to take haircuts the night before Lag Boimer or not. The Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah brings down an opinion that says you could take haircuts the night before, while the Ramah seems to say you can't. So Salvechik said, what's the machloikis talian? So he explains it like this. Why are you allowed to take a haircut today? So Pashup Shah, you're allowed to take a haircut today because of the principle of Miktas Hayem Kikule. Because we're applying that rule of Miktas Hayem Kikule. Today is Avelos. So we do a little bit of Avelos today and then it's over. So he says, Kib Emet Gam Lag Boimer Meisuver Ol Denek Ba'Avelos. El Shem Miktas Hayem Kikule Ba'Avelos Ke'ilu Tam Wa'Alam Megim Ba'Avelos B'Miktas Hayem. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And according to the Mechaber, it stops on 34. That's the Pashup Shah and why we take haircut today or tomorrow. So he writes, Uva'od Mishum Dehetat Ezwe Lag Boimer Hu Mishum Dehlag Boimer Choshuv Ki Yomtif. Now Salvechik is opening us up to another possibility. And I want to expand on this. That could be the whole Lag Ba'Omer. There's two dinim to Lag Ba'Omer. There's one element of Hafsakas Avelos. That the Avelos ends on Lag Ba'Omer because that's when the Talmid Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. And there's another element of Lag Ba'Omer. There's a Yomtif of Lag Ba'Omer. Why is Lag Ba'Omer Yomtif? We'll get to. That's the second half of this year. But it's a Yomtif. Just accept that notion that there's two things going on in Lag Ba'Omer. There's one time, there's something that's the ending of the Avelos, which itself is not a Siba for Simcha at all. A person gets up from Shiva, he doesn't dance, that's not a simcha. But there's another thing taking place on Lag Ba'Omer, which in itself is a reason for joyous activity, and that's also happening on Lag Ba'Omer. So the way of Salvechik says it is, oh, if you say it like that, then it makes a lot of sense. Why? So he writes, Ulatzaro echode hetuhu achmishu mixayim kikuloi in hetlastabe be'er. Says Salvechik, if you go with that idea that the whole haircuts are all based on the ending of the Avelos, then you gotta wait till the morning. That's why the Ramah says you wait till the morning. But if you believe that there's a heter, that Lag Ba'Omer is a yomtif, yomtif always start the night before. So if the yomtiv starts the night before, so you'd be allowed to take a haircut the night before. Because the yomtiv starts the night before.
So according to Salvechik, it could be like Ravarn. You take it at 3 in the afternoon too.
No, I don't think
why
so.
Because he's saying if you start it like the night before.
The yomtiv starts after Shkia, not the afternoon before.
Yeah, but you have the same cup.
No, he's not saying that. He's saying that the yomtiv actually starts at night. So if the yomtiv starts at night, good. So at night, you're allowed to take a haircut. What I don't understand about Salvechik's pshat is that mehechatesa that the yomtiv carries a chiyuv to take a haircut. Not every yomtiv, do you have to take a haircut on it? Naniach, whatever the yomtiv Lag Ba'Omer is, which we'll need to delve into.
But you were messy before, so now we're covered yomtiv.
What?
Because it happens on this yomtiv.
Is that, again, I'm not convinced that every yomtiv carries a din that you have to look your best for it.
No, but
there's no way some malacha Lag Ba'Omer, right?
I understand, but you're looking particularly shabby.
Fine, that's true. But I'm not sure what type of yomtiv it is. So if I don't know what type of yomtiv it is, why is it such a given that it carries along a din that you're not supposed to take
a haircut? If I could have taken a haircut a week before.
Fine. That's because every other yomtiv you're supposed to look. I'm saying on Chanukah. Is there a din on Chanukah you're supposed to take a haircut on Chanukah?
No, but if I look shabby, it would be appropriate to take
a haircut. I'm not sure that's halacha that you'd have to.
It says you're doing it because you want to look good.
Say, what does it mean the yomtiv is mater the heter? What's the yomtiv?
Taking the haircut for being looked
good. Yeah, nechalam, you're probably not. But I'm not sure why the yomtiv gives you a heter to take a haircut. Where do we find that?
Doesn't the lashon just turn if you want? Because after a certain while, you just don't
want
to look good.
Yeah, you don't have to. That reason I used to go a whole 49 days and no haircuts or anything.
Anymore,
right? Again, that's one way of saying it. The way of Salvechik is explaining that if you accept that Lag Ba'Omer is a yomtiv, therefore the restriction of haircuts are not waived because of the avelos; they're waived because of the yomtiv, and therefore the yomtiv starts the night before. My only question is, where do we know that this is that type of yomtiv where it waives the restriction or gives you the right to shave? Mechatesa. Where does it say that anywhere? We don't even know what the yomtiv is. That's where Salvechik says it. I'd like to add. Exactly. Right, so the way I would say it, I would add to what Salvechik said, and I'd say it like this. The fees that you can be mazbe with the Ramah of a kipshutai, leave the Ramah the way it is. You could say it like this. The reason why we're not saying tachron and erev Lag Ba'Omer is because of the yomtiv of Lag Ba'Omer. The yomtiv of Lag Ba'Omer starts at night, no question. That's the yomtiv of Lag Ba'Omer. That starts at night, no tachron. But the yomtiv of Lag Ba'Omer is not what allows you to take a haircut. What allows you to take the haircut is the hafsakas avelos. That doesn't start until the next morning. So there's mamish two things going on over here. There's what we call a yomtiv of Lag Ba'Omer, which gives X and Y dinim, whatever those dinim are. And there's another din of when does the Avelos end? Yeah, the Avelos ends in the morning. There's no question.
Exactly. It's a type of
no, it's not.
It's
a different type of Avelos. It's not so schwer.
Yes, it is.
Cholamay Pesach, we're keeping. Cholamay Pesach, some people keep Svir Cholamay Pesach.
No, but you're saying But you're saying that on one hand, there's a yontif. The other thing is hafsakas avela.
Right.
If it's a yontif, then the avela said.
Not
you
true.
You have avela said.
Not that. It's not that. First of all, it's not true. I'm saying the second day is a Pesach.
You have avela
the second day is a... Yes, the second... Those people keep the first svira. What do they do?
No. I'm saying, let's see, somebody...
Again, those people keep the first svira.
Right.
The clock starts on Pesach.
Correct.
It means that Cholamoy, they're keeping avelas. Second day is a Pesach, they're keeping avelas.
Yeah, but Cholamoy, you're still allowed to go to concerts and stuff.
That's a big kasha. Why are you allowed to? They talk about
yontif.
But you're not allowed to shave.
Right, you're not allowed to shave.
True. Because if you're right, then those people who keep the first minute are short. They're short 33 days. You have to keep 33 days. You're not keeping 33 days. You're keeping much less. So the Acharim explained is you're talking right. You are keeping 33 days. With regard to music, we're mad because of Simchas Yomtiv, which according to some Acharim is not so poshut even. But the Yashiv held only certain types of music, whatever. Yeah, we all go to concerts because it's a great time for concert people to make money. I understand. Not so poshut that it's mutter. But you're not allowed to shave because of that. I mean, let's say you have a case where a guy is ahead to the shave because of Cholamoid. He wouldn't be allowed to shave mitzad the Avelos part. Because we're still keeping the Avelos. So the same way we're keeping the Avelos there. And that's a bigger Yomtiv than Lag Baomer. So I'm saying over here that there's two things taking place. There's the Yomtiv, whatever that means, the Yomtiv. Again, I'm not saying it's you have to make a Suda and not go to work. I'm just saying you don't say Tachlim. No, that's a little bit, that's enough for a Yomtiv, not to say Tachlim. So all those dinim start Taka at night. Now, the next morning is when all the Avelos issues end. So you have to ask yourself, what's because of Avelos and what's Al Simcha? So taking a haircut, that's because of Avelos. Making a Chasana, that's also a thing of Simcha. So Pash is according to what I'm saying now. You would not be allowed to make a Chasana last night. So now the $1 million question is, what about those Hilulas that they all make? Why is that allowed to make it? It says because that Hilula is not Hazal Safsakas Avelos. That Hilula is a celebration of the Yomtif of Lag Baomer. So that's Takamutter at night. That's Takamutter.
When does Lag Baomer become a Yomtif?
All right, we'll get to that in a second. That I have to explain later. I'll prove it to you. But if you're willing to accept this Lumdis, I think everything makes a lot of sense. Now you'll ask me, how could that be that they had the right? Okay, whoever was miyaseh this minhag, they did it. And I think halacha l'maaseh, Nissan Karel's pasuk is a chiddush gadol. Everyone asked last night, could they listen to music? The biggest question in the world was, can you listen to music last night? You know, so I tell people, like Nissan Karel says, depends. If you're going to a hilula party last night, avadi, listen to music. If you're going to sit at home and listen to whatever else, then you can't. But what's up, shot? The answer is pashut. Because there's really no heter to listen to music, I'll stop sucking the veil, doesn't start until the next morning. But the da'ad din in simcha say yomtif of Ibshim Bayechoi, that you're allowed to, that has to be in celebration of Ibshim Bayechoi. If you're going to sit at home and listen to whatever music you want to listen to, that doesn't fulfill that chiv.
But when did this thing with Ibshim Bayechoi?
We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a second. But I think if you're willing to accept it like this, it makes a lot of sense. It makes sense that there's talk of two things happening in Lag Baomer. There's an element of Hafsakas Avelos, and there's also an element of Yom Tov. Lefi Zeh, things make a lot more sense now, because everyone asks, people ask the Kasha, I don't understand, what's the grace of Yom Tov? People stop dying. That's not the Yom Tov, no question. That's not the Yom Tov. The Hafsakas Hamisa is not the Yom Tov. The Hafsakas Hamisa is why we stop the Avelos. There's another element of Lag Baomer, which obviously needs Mekairis for, that it becomes an active Yom Tov for whatever the reason may be. If you look in many Achreim, Shulchan Aruch, Rav, and others, they takar toilah zeh b'zeh. They say if you're going to say takar on erev Lag Baomer, then you're not allowed to shave. If you're not going to say takar on erev Lag Baomer, then you are allowed to shave. They put the two things together. The way we're saying it's not toilah zeh b'zeh b'chlal, the two things are not dependent on each other. The fees there, we could explain another thing. Rav Moshe has a very famous tshuva. Rav Moshe writes, the minhag today in Klal Yisrael is lehepech of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says if you want to be mekel on the night of Lag Baomer, you could do so with haircuts, but not with weddings. But Moshe writes in the Tshuva that today the minhag is the other way around. Today we don't listen to music, but we do make weddings the night. This year wasn't Negeah, because it was Matzah Shabbos. So the question is, what's Pshat of Moshe? Why would we be matter weddings and not music? So the Pashat Pshat would be because weddings are a mitzvah. When this original ban came down about not making weddings, some people were very upset about this. Moshe, weddings are a mitzvah. How can you stop people from doing mitzvahs? So whatever the Pshat was, the ban became widely accepted. So Ken Zayin, because it was a mitzvah, so that's what we make of the night before. But I think there's more of a lomdish way of saying it. There's a machloikis we shine him in Helchas Avelos. Do we say mitzvah halayla kikulei? We all know we say mitzvah yom kikulei, that the day is a part of the day, is like the whole day. What about the night before? Let's say you have a person who doesn't want to sit the seventh day shiva. So what he does is the day of six, he sits shiva in through the night, he'll sit 11 o'clock at night, and then he's done with the lomdish of mitzvah halayla kikulei. So there's a big machloikis we shine him. Do we say mitzvah halayla kikulei by Avelos? Shulchan Aruch Paskes, we don't say Miktas HaLayla Kekula. We don't say that principle by the it has to be Dafki Yom and not Layla before. They say that's Pshat in the Ramah. That's why the Ramah held you not allowed to take a haircut the night before. Because we don't hold Miktas HaLayla. If you were to hold Miktas HaLayla, you would be able to take a haircut the night before. There's a Piskei Tshuva in Yerideya that talks about a Shaila about a Talmud Chacham, who's already 6 days not learning is enough for him. He's climbing the walls, doesn't know what to do. He needs to open up a Geshmak Reb Chaim and learn. Learning Hechzavels doesn't do it for him. So the shayla was, can he be makel to learn Torah the night before day 7 with the mixas halayla kekula? Or a more relevant shayla, which I got dealt with once, and let's say a man sitting shiva, and the night of day 6 his wife is going to the mikvah. So would he be allowed to be makel that night to live with his wife? Leil mikvah, would he be allowed to live with her that night based on the principle of mikvah salayel kekula? So the Pesach Yitshuva says, Taka, you could. Why? He says, because it's a mitzvah. Anything which is a mitzvah, where Samech and those were shining, mikvah salayel kekula. So the Fiza, that could be Pshat and Rav Moshe. The reason why we're makel to make weddings the night before is because since weddings are a mitzvah, we're going to apply those sheetahs we're shining that hold mikvah salayel kekula. So mikvah salayel kekula, you take a lot of make a chasna the night before. Which the Fiza means you'd have to make the chasna after Tzeis Kechavim a little bit. Which is pretty late. You have to start the chasna like an hour into things. But according to this lumnus, it's move on why you'd be able to make a chasna the night before. Why not listen to music? Okay. Now, I have to back up my yisoid. I mean,
shaving,
what?
Shaving before Shabbos is also part of the mitzvah
of Shabbos. Shaving? Yeah, that's debatable. When Chazal knew this,
they didn't shave that.
That's one upshot. They didn't shave as frequently as we do today. That's debatable about whether or not it's mutter on a regular Arab Shabbos. It depends how you read a line in a mug in Avram.
Salvage is a famous sheet that way he said, even during Sfira, every Arab Shabbos.
I've heard people call for Salvage. He does, as far as I know, not that I have all access to all his farm. He doesn't say anything about Shabbos. His Nakuda is about the fact that it's Yigabah Chaveir. Salvage's head was, if you go more than 2-3 days, where you already look disheveled, so that's mutter. I found in a tshuva, someone sent me a tshuva from Baron Lichtenstein, where he makes an argument about Friday. But if, to my knowledge, of Salvechik himself never discussed Friday. He discussed, going 2 or 3 days for a person who shaves very frequently, you already hit Yiga B'chaveiru, you already hit the point where your friends would tell you you look disgusting. So then, because the whole Avelis is only like your base Chaydesh, so you could be Mekel. If Aaron Lichtenstein has a very pushing, a tshuva where he pushes this agenda, where he thinks not only you're allowed to shave on Friday, he thinks it's a mitzvah. The Imam holds mitzvah to shave on Erev Shabbos. Okay.
Throughout
Sfira, right. But as far as I know, Salvechik was just talking about a person who shaves frequently. So if you have a person who doesn't shave very frequently, so again, you'll tell me, by the end of the week, already he'll hit Yigabah Chaveiru. Well, he might.
And what's the reason why it's okay?
Who, Aaron Lichtenstein?
Yeah.
So he wants to bring riots from the fact that for calls Kavod Shabbos. He brings riots that we find Kavod Shabbos with matzahs and things. So here also. It's really
but
totally.
If you'd be a novel, you wouldn't be allowed to shave.
That's right, but that's because the Avelis over here is not as real. The Avelis over here is much more makel. There's a line in the Magen Avraham that everyone talks about where the Magen Avraham says the reason why I'm not allowed to shave Shabbos is because belav hachi lo yehi mistapin kol kach. Because without that, they never shave that frequently. So people are medayik. Well, but today, when we talk, they do shave that frequently, so maybe it would be more. That's a big discussion.
Doesn't
Moshe have that for Cholamoid? Yeah, but Cholamoid is for a different reason. The reason why I'm not allowed to shave Cholamoid is Xavier Darbani, he won't shave before. So that's a different reason. In Rotz Katsi, Rabbi Reisman, he writes that he spoke to a friend of his who spoke to someone who learned in Chabad Chaim, and in Chabad Chaim they tell everyone to shave on Friday. It's quite not true today. If you look around, many Chabad Chaim guys don't shave on Friday. Depends, it depends who you ask. This and that. Supposedly, Tanya that David Leibowitz held like this from the Rashiva's Penach's father held like this. Okay, I don't know. But if you look around, most B'nai Torah, to my knowledge, don't shave on Friday, even though maybe one can make a compelling argument. The question that we now have to figure out is if my Mahoshtikal Torah is right, what's the Yom Tov of Lag Boimer? Bishlam, you learn Kipshuta, Istav, Sakas, Avelis. No, so we can understand there's an element of ending of Avelis. But where's the Yom Tov work its way in? So if you look over here on the next side, you see, we'll go with number 15 first. In number 15, the Prichadish asks the kash that many of you are bothered with. Umir Yesh Tadakti, B'simcha Zulama. What's the great Simcha? V'imishim Shepaskim Ulamas? Because they stopped dying? Mabekach, for the Nishu Echem Mehem. No one was left. The Kulo Mesu. Umativish Simcha Zulama. What question Simcha is there? Everyone died out. Grace of Simcha. There's no one left to die. Everyone that died was supposed to die. Where's the Sibas HaSimcha? The Epsha says the Prichadish HaSimcha hi al oisem tamidim shahoisem achka kamekiva shalay mesu keilu. So Prichadish wants to say, and the way people explain the Prichadish means this was the day Rabbi Akiva made his comeback. Rabbi Akiva made his comeback on Lag Boimer. So the day Rabbi Akiva got the courage to start teaching Torah again was on Lag Boimer. Which means Lefiza, the Yom Tov of Lag Boimer is not attributed to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's attributed to Rabbi Akiva. It's Rabbi Akiva was the day he picked himself off from after this such a big tragedy, and he continues to teach Torah. Rabbi Gedalia Shor has a beautiful piece in Or Gedalia where he says that Lag Boimer is a day for those people who feel that they had a yirida in learning. They felt like they didn't do enough. They want to pick themselves up. He says Lag Boimer is a big day to pick yourself up because Rabbi Akiva picked himself up in Lag Boimer, and he started again, although all the issues that he had and he experienced. So Lag Boimer is a day to pick ourselves up in the Menatar. That's the Pichadish's pshat.
Maybe that's the Simcha.
Right, that's the pshat.
So no, I'm saying yes, the Simcha that Salvechik was referring to.
Right, again, we're all trying to explain why is it a Yom Tov. So according to the Pichadish, the reason why it's a Yom Tov is because that was the day of Akiv. Now, would this become a Yom Tov with the SRCS Malacha and all the other types of Yom Tov? I don't think so. But okay, you want to call it a Yom Tov, you call it a Yom Tov. In the Reb Chaim Vital, the Talmud of the Arizal. Exactly.
It's like a second chance.
That's right.
You never give up.
That's right. That's the similarity between the two Yom Tov. Reb Chaim Vital quotes from his Rebbe, the Arizal. Number 14, he writes over here that Inyan Minig Shenogu Yisol Alechad Dream Am Gimloy Malkivi Rashbi Vebeliezer Benoy. I should kavurim beir Miron Kinoy. Everyone knows that they're buried in Miron. Va'oichlim b'shoysim b'smeichsham. Everyone's happy there. So he writes over there. Aniri Isul Amayri. I saw my Rebbe the Arizal. Shahalach l'sham pamachas b'yam Am Gimloy. He went once on Lag Ba'Imer. Who v'chalan Shabes took the whole family trip. The Yoshev from Shloishes Yomim. He went there for the first 3 days. Shalash Shavu that week. Okay. So the Arizal was one of the first people to make this trip to Meiron. That's where it all starts from. The Arizal was one of the first people, Chaim Vital testifies about his Rebbe, that he went to Meiron, he made this trip to Meiron. Okay, question is, obviously he's assuming that something to do with Shimon Bar Yochai. What does that have to do with Shimon Bar Yochai? So if you look in the Vilna Gaon, the Gra is bothered with the Ramah. The Ramah writes, Mabim Bok Simcha on Lag Boimer. Fact the Vilna Gaon, why? So the Vilna Gaon, Kedaki HaKadosh, tells you, Kemosh Kasab Saif Tainus Laman of Beishuk, Shabo Poskul Meisei Midbar. He sends you on a Mar Mokim. Go look at Tainus Laman of Beis. What does he want with Tainus Laman of Beis? The Gemara over there is discussing what's the Yom Tov of Tubav. Why is Tubav such a big Yom Tov? So the Gemara gives a bunch of reasons. And one of the reasons are Shabbat, that they stopped dying those people that were supposed to get killed in the Midbar. So Zok the Gaon, he's asking me a kasha, what type of Yom Tov is it when people stop dying? No, I'll show you. Tubav is a Yom Tov. When people stop dying, is a Yom Tov. So the Gaon answers the kasha with another kasha. Classic Jewish style. You're asking me a kasha, what type of Yom Tov is it? I'll prove it to you, because look at Tubav. Tubav is a Yom Tov where we're commemorating nothing more than the fact that people stop dying. So in Kain, who had in Hacha? The problem is that first of all doesn't answer the kasha. So good. And I have two shver gemaras. The problem is if you look in the gemara adds one more line. Not only was the yom shepaskum alamus, the gemara says that now Moshe Rabbeinu got back the ability to speak pal petakosh baruch. The gemara says that till they stopped dying, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in different ways, either through it wasn't directly, it was through other things. The machlokes is showing them what it means. But the gemara makes a line that over there, that after they stopped dying, it wasn't just okay, people stopped dying. There was an additive element of simcha that Moshe Rabbeinu got back a new relationship with Hakadosh Baruch. If that's so, then the gross definitely doesn't make any sense. Not what happened over here? Rabbi Akiva got Ruach HaKodesh now, was able to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you learn the Tushta? So I saw there a Svarba wanted to tell you that the Pshat over there was a Gzeir on that generation. That generation needed to be wiped out and we had to move on. A new start. So here also, this was like a new start. We ended one chapter and we opened a new chapter. So the Mesi Tabidah Rabbi Akiva was like the ending of a Gzeir on a generation. And when that Gzeir is ended, so now the rest of the Klai Yisrael can move on. Similar to the case of Kol HaMesi Midbar. It's shver to me, but that's the way the Gaon wants to answer the kasha. If you look over here in the Chayodim, so till now we haven't seen anything yet about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Right, all those people that get nothing to do with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Right now, either he's a Talmud of Rav Akiva. That's the same Rav Shimon, right? So that's one shot. Or if you learn like the Gra, it has to do with they stop dying, which has nothing to do with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So it comes along the Chayodim and he writes, what's the pshat? Shuhuyayim hilulu de Rashbi. It's the day of his yard site. And that's why we're knowing Simcha, because it's the yard site of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. We mentioned that Tuesday night, the Bnei Soscha says, if it was the yard site of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, it must have been his birthday. So you see a significance for birthday in Halacha, because that's like Boimer, it was the birthday of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. But that's the only mention of this, really, is this Chayodim. Other than that...
Why him, not the other?
So the cash is, why him? And secondly... He was. The other kasha that they have is for us Ashkenazim, Litvish Jews, Yom Hilulah is not a day for joy.
Yeah.
Yom Hilulah is a sad day. Right? The Gemara tells us, even back in Megillah, the Gemara tells us, Yom Shemes Moshe Rabbeinu, Adar was a bad month because Moshe Rabbeinu died. The only reason why Adar became a better month is because Moshe Rabbeinu was also born. But you see that Yom HaMisa is not a day of celebration. So why? It's because he died is the reason to celebrate. That's the kasha on this idea over here.
Is little touch of Hilulah your side?
Yeah, there's a discussion of where that word comes from. Where do you find that word in other places? Where else is it used, the word Hilulah? Right. But they assume Hilulah translates as a yard site. But there's an Aruch HaShulchan I think is worth mentioning. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the Yom Tov has nothing to do with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai either. I'm sorry, it has to do with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, but for a different reason. He writes at the end, he says, why? Shenistalik b'yom zeh, the gam yotze mehama'ora b'yom zeh. Not only did he die, says the Aruch HaShulchan, this is the day he came out of the cave. Gemara, in famous Gemara on Lamed Gimel Shabbos, that's Lag. The Gemara tells us the story of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son. They had to go into hiding because of the Romans. And they were in the cave 12 years, 13 years, I don't remember which one. And they came out, finally, it's 12. They went back. That's right. The Gemara says he was in a cave. And so my wife told me, someone sent them one of these blogs last night, that there's an Inyan to daven for a house on Lag Boimir, because Rav Shimon Bar Yochai didn't have a house. So I told my wife, I don't really understand that. I said, maybe there's anything to daven like Boimer to have good relationships with your children. Because Rav Shimon Bar Yochai lived in a cave with his son for 12 years and they didn't kill each other. So maybe like Boimer is the day to daven to get along with your kids. I don't know. I don't understand what that means. The Gemara tells Rav Shimon Bar Yochai didn't wear clothing because he didn't want his clothing to wear out. So maybe like Boimer is the day to daven that your clothing shouldn't get worn out. I don't know what this stuff means. I'm not belittling the Rav Shimon bar Yochai's story, but that means that we should do this. It's beyond. So the question is still why all these people? So many Achrayim were bothered with this kasha. The Chassam Sofer was bothered with this kasha, but even more so, what used to happen was they used to have a minute. They used to have these bonfires, which we all know of, and they throw in valuable clothing. They throw in expensive stuff, not just pieces of wood. They throw in valuable clothing. So many Achrayim held that's mamish aser. It's paltashchus. So the Chassam Sofer has a famous tshuva.
What is the reason for the bonfire?
I'm going to try it again. I can't explain everything. Yeah, that's what they say. It's like, I definitely can't explain everything, but we'll try our best. So he writes over here, the Chassam Sofer writes an interesting tshuva. He writes, he says that the reason for the Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer has nothing to do with Reb Shimon bar Yochai, nothing to do with Reb Akiva, a whole different shot. He writes, the reason for the Yom Tov is because it says in the Medrash, Shemirim Shekola Hacharoi Sheyotzim Mitzrayim, from the day they ran out of food with what they brought from Mitzrayim, they went 3 days without bread. V'yachkach Yared Haman, we're number two. Number 22. Im Kain, Hoya Haredes Haman B'Yom HaMagib BaOmer. So you know what happened in HaMagib BaOmer? That was the day the month fell down. The Roy Lassis Lazeh Zeichet Toif. That's the shot. The whole Yom Tov Lag BaOmer, nothing to do with Reb Akiva, nothing to do with Reb Shimon bar Yochai, nothing. It has to do with the month coming down. He says, Achu Neged HaShas, it's Kneged HaGemara. But he still thinks that's the pshat. He believes that the idea of the Simcha has nothing to do with Reb Shimon bar Yochai, nothing to do with Reb Akiva, all one reason. Because it's not Lag BaOmer, it's Yud Ches Ir. And people have the wrong name of the Yom Tov. They call it Lag BaOmer. It's not Lag BaOmer, it's Yud Ches Ir. Which happens to be Lag BaOmer. I don't disagree. But
so for 1,000 years we forgot about it?
Or yeah. This is the,
the month came back?
We'll see the Chassam Sofer has another piece in Tazria on Chumash where he has a different pshat. But this is one of his famous pshatim in the Tshuva. We think that has nothing to do with anything that we talked about till now. The Yom Tov has to do with the month. The Fiza has nothing to do with fire, has nothing to do with any of the stuff. It all has to do with the month.
So under that theory, then before the Gaonim created the prohibitions, then they would have been saying Tachanun. They would have not been saying Tachanun on this day.
Anyway.
Right, 100%.
Up until the year 1000.
Well, that's what we said. We said that these dinim are not coming out of the fact that of the Avelos. Not saying Tachanun is not because the Avelos ended. Not saying Tachanun is because there's a Yom Tov. Why is it a Yom Tov? So the Yom Tov is because of the month fell down.
But we have no writings before the Gaonim introduced this to go back.
Correct.
To...
Yeah. Correct. Explain. That's the Chiddush. That's why
there's
he's a Chiddush.
No organic...
Correct. That's why he's a Chiddush over here where he writes that he thinks that's the reason over here. So he writes over here, the Shaul Meshev writes a very, very sharp tshuva against those people who go to these big Lag BaOmer parties and they throw in expensive things. He writes an unbelievable thing. He says, first of all, he says, I don't understand. Why Reb Shimon bar Yochai versus everyone else? Kasha number one. Secondly, yard sites by us are not joyous days. They're actually sad days. That's why the Ma'ar writes in Shulchan Aruch to fast on the yard site. And thirdly, he says, this thing that they throw clothing in and they burn it up. He says, I don't understand. And look, listen to it. This is a sharp lashonis. The end of number 23, he writes... He says, He wrote, he was a contemporary poising in the turn of the century. He was very popular in the turn of the night in that era. He wrote a famous tshuva about copyright. He's known for his famous tshuva about intellectual property. What does it mean to own? What does it mean to own property? What does it mean to own something at the holiday? Copyright. This is no. This Shaul Meshev. No, turn of the 1900s. Turn of the 1900s. 1900s. Yeah, he was a big Pisac. So he writes like this. He says, I don't know where this comes from. At best, the Yishugu is go to the Kever and Davin. Upshita Shabbos Yosef v'siyata lo yiminichem lasis k'zois v'rach achakak v'spashe the minug v'im kain teishu the minug koidim. Go back to the original minute, the way things used to be. You're afraid that if you don't go to a bonfire and throw on clothing, you're afraid you're going to get punished. Says the Shaul Meshev, I'll guarantee it. Right, he writes, if you take all that money that you spend on the preparation, and you take that money and give it to poor people, we'll be much happier with that than making a bonfire. So the Steichemit comes to defend. He says, what's pshat? Why is all the celebration about Reb Shimon bar Yochai? Why are we celebrating his death? She says a beautiful pshat. He says, because Reb Shimon bar Yochai was supposed to be killed by the Romans. He was a target. The fact that he lived, the whole thing was a miracle. He lived 12 years in a cave with a tree. The whole thing was a miracle. So Dr. Steichemer, we want to commemorate the day he died. Why? To show that he died not from the Romans. He died because Hashem said, now it's time to die. We're commemorating his death because his death shows us that the Romans didn't win. So that's why Bedafka, his death versus other people's death, because his death showed the world that Hashem runs the world, because Hashem decided when it was time for him to go, not when the Romans decided. So his death was a raya to the fact that Hashem is in control, and that's why we celebrate his death.
So it's got nothing to do with the stopping of the plague.
No, nothing to do with it. According to this, the Yomtif has nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva. It's a two separate. That's right. According to what we're saying now, there's two things happening on Lag BaOmer. One is the stopping, and one is the act of Simcha.
They happen to come out at the same time.
They happen to be the same day, and they have different dinim, the Fizeh. I found over here, if you look over here, number 27, they quote from the Sefer Teru Lishma. He writes, don't be against those people who take chashuv begadim and they burn it for mitzvah. Since they're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, don't be so concerned about batashchus. They're doing it for a good reason. How many candles do we light in shul? We don't really need all those lights in shul. Because they must say shrag to hear my honey. What does light do in a light room? You light the million candles. What does that do? Again, I would say that the cost of a candle is probably not the equivalent of the cost of a fancy clothing, but okay. He writes, if you're doing something for the purpose of tzaddik, I'm burning this clothing not for my own purpose, I'm doing this for somehow this is supposed to be a kavod from Shem Bayechoy, then it's mut. That's what he writes. So that's why people do it today. Just to round it off, you look in the bottom. And
we didn't say the makar yet.
He writes over here that this. Yeah, I don't know why. I wish I knew. I don't know why.
Oh, you know, so we don't know why they throw clothes.
I'm sure they know why. Maybe. Carbon. If you look in Archas Abeinu, the stipler has Sharf al-Shanis, he writes over here, Oymeli Moivi Rebbe, he's the first of the stipler, Shasvaidim Zorkim Dvar Mikrei Erech, they throw in expensive things, Kain Begadim Mikar Matviim, Bezov V'Kesef, L'Toych HaMedua B'Lag B'Gem V'Meiron, Zemishum Shechoshu Shemevim Carbon. It's because they think they're bringing a carbon. So this is what the stipler thought, that when they're throwing in their clothing, it's supposed to be like a carbon, Zok the stipler, V'Oser Hadav. You're not allowed to do that. So the Achrayim were very against. Again, many Achrayim, Litzvah Shachrayim, Rabbi Liashiv told Yeshiva Bachim not to go to Meron. So that's not where you belong. You belong in Yeshiva. Now people tell me that the reason why we have fires is because of the fire of Torah. So I thought, you know, it's also, Torah is also Torah. Yeah. Most of the Litzvah Yeshivas today, the minhag is not to take off Torah, to go to the park. I found a Minhage Varmisha, one of these communities where the minhag used to be the Itaka, the Mavatal Torah. They would make a lachaim. They would drink. They'd give to the kids to drink. I don't know. I think that's why they play baseball in Lag BaOmer, because the minhag used to be to be mevatel seder. So today we don't give kids alcohol to the kids, and today we play baseball. Where the bow and arrows come from is definitely beyond my understanding. The simple pshat of the bow and arrows have to do with rainbows, because in the Dor of Shem Bayechai they never needed a rainbow because he was enough of a tzaddik.
Isn't that one of the things? I don't know where it's Shem Bayechai, why he can come out of the cave because he.
I don't know. The Gemara says it is that Eliyahu became him. Eliyahu became and told him, "Don't worry, the Caesar died. It's safe." It could be. Again, it's definitely beyond my understanding. It's just the last word is a Kuch Sam Sofer in 26. He writes a different shot. He writes, "What's the Yomtif?" He says, "Because the way it is that we count Shemaslah Hanashom Hakadosh Luchnes B'Techa Gof Yisraeli Einim Siyah Sheves Al Mekoyim Arui Ad Achalamet Gemuyim." So the way it takes 33 days for a Yiddish Hanashama to start to work. Even though obviously Yiddish and Neshama comes right away at birth, it takes 33 days until it starts going. So he writes, now we can explain one of the reasons for Lag BaOmer. So all of us became Jews, Erev Pesach and Mitzrayim. We didn't get that the Jewish spark until after 32 days, because it takes 33 days for it to be implanted. He says that's just like 40 days after the lady has a baby. That's the end of her tahara, because now the ruach haTahara, the Yiddish and the Shema, is implanted in us. In any case, there's much discussion. What? Maybe that's why we got them on. In any case, I think the takeaway from all this is I think there's two dinim on Lag BaOmer. There's a din of Afsakas Avelos, and there's a din of Yom Tov, and you have to figure out which one fits into Afsakas Avelos and which one fits into Simchas Yom Tov.